Well, you guys, what a great morning to wrap up our series, The Joy of Generosity. And you know, in week one, we talked about how money is actually more than money. And then in week two, we actually talked about the idea. Remember, we've been talking about the two legs of biblical finances, which is stewardship and generosity. And so in week two, we actually talked about stewardship and what does it look like to be a manager of the resources entrusted to us. And then last week, we actually talked about the idea of putting things that we know or believe into practice. And we talked about practices. We talked about financial practices. We talked about tithing. We talked about priority-based giving, and then having a plan to do that. So that was great. You can go back and listen to all of that right on the phone app or on our website. Today, I want to actually talk to us about really the idea of this series is getting to the point where we can actually be joyfully generous. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. I want to launch in as we get going here right into the theme scripture for this entire series. And we'll actually close with this same passage today as well. But 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 says this. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up for themselves treasures lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of a life that is truly life. And again, we understand that this is all joyful generosity. All of this is about more than money. It's about the kind of lives that we live. Randy Alcorn said this. He said, throughout the Bible, there are over 2,000 verses concerning money. That's roughly twice as many as prayer and faith combined. Money is the main subject of nearly half of the parables Jesus told. Why? And then he says, there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and handle money. And again, we've been talking about generosity and then preceding generosity, stewardship. Those are the two legs of biblical finances. And again, today I want to close out our series with this idea of joyful generosity. And I just wanted to pause for a moment before we jump further into God's word and just say to each and every one of you that have taken steps to partner financially with Element Church or have taken steps to begin giving or even taking steps of stewardship in your own life. Just want to say, Pastor Eric and I, we are so proud of you. We're so proud of you for taking steps of maturity. And really, my hope as a pastor, and I know my wife as well, her hope as a pastor for you, is that you would begin to take or continue to take those steps of maturity in your own personal financial world. And because really it has an impact that goes bigger than any of our individual lives because it goes into our corporate life, which is the church. And then the church obviously bleeds over into our community, which obviously bleeds over to our state. And that obviously bleeds over to the world and the nation. So the nation and the world. I know I just switched that order. You're like, Pastor Scott, the nation's not bigger than the world. I got it. Slip of the tongue, right? But I just wanted to say we're so proud of you. And just also wanted to say, if you're still wondering how you can practically put some of this into application, we've talked a lot about that, but you can actually give to Element Church. And you can do that at theelement.church/give. You can actually even set up automated giving there. So just want to invite you to do that, invite you to partner with what God is doing here through Element Church. So just wanted to, again, just stop and just say how proud we are of you for taking those steps of maturity. Now, again, we talked about week one, more than money, week two, stewardship, week three, practices, and now we're kind of in the sweet spot here. This is where we've been trying to get to. This is kind of the crux of the series here. We are in the sweet spot of living a life, of talking about living a life of ongoing, strategic, joyful generosity. And to me, that sounds like an amazing place to be. And I know for you, it is as well. This idea of ongoing, strategic, joyful generosity, just living with an open hand where we can just be generous, or we can be generous people, where we can make a difference in our families, in our communities, in the organizations that we're a part of. And so again, today, I just want to continue to kind of build out this idea as we close out this series. So let me quickly pray for us and let's get into some more scripture. Father, thank you for this morning. And I just thank you for what you've already done in our hearts. But I just pray that you would continue to speak today. We open our hearts and our ears, our minds, and we just thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got some thoughts around this idea, guys, of joyful generosity. And number one this morning is this, is that everybody has a thing. You say, Pastor Scott, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Everybody has a thing. Let me explain what I mean by that. Our human nature causes us to care about the things that we actually care about, That shouldn't be surprising. And to not care about the things that we don't care about. So it's very obvious that, you know, if something's important to us, it's important. And if something's not important to us, it's not important. I know that we're not in any deep mentally challenging ideas yet. But here's what I want you to know. Everybody's got a thing. Everybody has something that is important to them. And then they have things, a set of things that's not important to them. And everybody has a thing. I might even say things, because you have sets of things that are important to you. And so I have a question just in point one here is, what's your thing? Or things, but what is your thing? What do you like to do? And for some of us, it's gardening. For some of us, it's guns. For some of us, it's granola. For some of us, it might be games. Whatever it is, you know, we think about, hey, okay, I'm going to take $100 and I'm going to go spend it on gardening. I'm going to spend it on flowers and gardening tools and bulbs, and I'm going to get some soil nutrients and mix this stuff up. And for you, if that's your thing, then that seems, you know, very reasonable. That seems very appropriate. That expense feels very obvious. If gardening's not your thing, sometimes we can think, oh man, that seems wasteful. Maybe even, we would say, maybe even foolish. But if gardening's your thing, because everybody's got a thing, then it seems appropriate to spend money on the thing. Maybe it's not gardening for you. Maybe it's guns, and you know, maybe it's ammo or oil and rags or targets, or maybe it's going to the gun range or whatever it might be. Maybe it's little things that you put in your ears to make sure you don't damage your hearing. But if you spend $100 on those things, but that's your things, then it seems appropriate. And if that's not your thing, then you might look at that and say, man, that's frivolous. That's silly. That's foolish. Maybe you're somebody who loves to make granola. Your health food, cooking supplies, oil, seeds, nuts. You get the idea. Maybe it's games. Maybe it's video games. Even inside of games, maybe it's video games. Maybe it's sporting events. Who knows? But if you take that $100 you spend on video games, you take that $100 you spend it on a sports ticket and parking. If it's your thing, then it feels appropriate. And if it's not your thing, then it feels frivolous, wasteful, or silly. And there's literally an endless amount of things that we care about and we're willing to spend money on. And everybody has a thing. So again, I'll ask you, what is your thing? And when we think about our thing, we think, again, that the money we spend on it is appropriate. And then if it's not our thing, we think that the spending on it is wasteful or foolish. So have you ever said, looking at someone else's thing, man, I can't believe they spent a couple hundred dollars on a smoothie maker. I can't believe they spent that kind of money on that kind of trip. I can't believe that they spent $700 on a kayak. You know, whatever it is, but as humans, here's the point. Number one is that we all have a thing. Number two this morning is that God has a thing. God has a thing. And again, I might say God has a thing. He might have things, a category of things, but God has a thing too. And the second point this morning, and first is we have a thing. Second is God also has a thing. God has a thing too. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So for God, it's maybe not gardening or guns or granola or games, but maybe it's the world. It's people. It's you and me. It's those who do not yet know him. God loves people. And we see all through the scripture how much God loves people. He doesn't just care about them. He loves them. God has a thing, and it's people. In 1 John 4:9, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. We are God's thing. We are the ones that God cares most about. Now that's incredibly humbling and also incredibly exciting and exhilarating. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And Romans 5:8 says this, it says, for while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that Christ died for us. So while we were his enemies, he loved us so much Jesus loved us so much, he came and gave his life for us. So we have a thing. God has a thing. And I'll kind of do some sub points here for God has a thing. I would say God has things. At least three of them. He probably has more, but at least three specific things. A is the lost. And we talked about how God loves people. God loves people that don't yet even acknowledge him or don't yet know him. He knows them, but they don't know him. God has a thing for the lost. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 15:4 says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Does he not do that? I think I misread that. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? One of God's things is the lost. Another one of God's things is helping those who are in need. Psalm 82, 3 and 4 says this, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Now I could read you just a plethora of scriptures here. Proverbs 14, 21, Proverbs 21, 13, Matthew 25, 40. The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. That's Jesus speaking. He's saying, look, the way that you love those who have need, those who need help, the way you help them is the way that you actually helped me. Luke 14, 12 through 14, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do you not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors? If you do, they may invite you back to something, and so you'll be repaid. And then watch this. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So God has a thing, and one of God's things is the lost, and one of God's things is the needy. And then the third thing that's in the category of God's things is the church, his bride. And all through the New Testament speaks about God's church. That's us, by the way, as his bride. And again, yes, it's us. We say oftentimes that the church is not a place, it's a people. And that is true. But actually the word ekklesia in the New Testament, the Greek word ekklesia is actually a people gathered for a purpose or a people that are gathered on mission together. So it isn't just a random smattering of God's people. It is God's people that are gathering together and then they are turning their attention to serve God and to serve each other and to serve the world. And that is the church. And so something like Element Church is not the entire church, but Element Church is an expression of the church. And even though someone who doesn't attend a quote-unquote local church is at a larger scale part of the church if they're followers of Jesus, but they're not part of a functioning local body. And God really has a thing about this. He loves the church. He loves his bride. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And the first half of that is evangelism, the lost. The second half of that is discipleship, which is caring for the needy and building the church. So God has a thing. We have a thing, but God has a thing. And I just want to take a little quick sub-bar and just say to all of you who have faithfully given to Element Church, I just want to say thank you. Pastor Eric and I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And just want to let you know, as we often like to do, that some of your giving helps run Element Church. Some of your giving actually goes to other ministries that we as a church select and choose and have relationship with to give into. And I want to remind you of a couple of those. I'm not going to exhaustively list every ministry that we partner with, but I do want to list several of them. And I want to tell you why I think they're really important and why I think they're God's things, why God has his heartbeat in these ministries. A few of our partner spotlights. Number one is TWR. It is a radio station out of the Caribbean area, and it is the largest radio AM radio station in the Western Hemisphere, and it is 24/7 pumping out the gospel. And so I believe that they are reaching the lost. They are reaching the lost, and I believe that that is close to God's heart. Chi Alpha and Greater Lansing Youth for Christ are two ministries that you guys partner with, and you are reaching the lost. One of them is ministering at Michigan State University, and one of them is ministering in the local high schools, and we are reaching the lost together through those two ministries. His House Ministries right here at Michigan State is also reaching the lost, and we're starting to turn our attention a little bit to discipling, reaching the needy. Juvenile Justice is a group that we partner with, and Juvenile Justice is a ministry that goes into correction facilities, specifically working with youth that are in the correctional system and actually bringing hope. And so I would say, yes, reaching the lost, but I would start to say we're starting to get into the vulnerable, starting to get into those who are needy. Really, really important and dear to God's heart. Blooming Abroad over in Hungary, Colin and Sarah Menke, you guys know, many of you know them, but they're reaching the lost and the vulnerable in Hungary. They're ministering to outskirts communities in Hungary and taking the gospel there. I'm going to move through some of these quickly, but One Hope Ministry is taking the word, God's word to every child. House of Promise here in Lansing is working with sex trafficked survivors. City Life Lansing is reaching out to the greater Lansing area and ministering to kids and those who are in deep need. The Next Level Relational Network is reaching pastors and building the church, which is the bride, and then ARC is planting the church and serving the church. And those are really the three things that God has a thing, and those are three of God's things: the lost, the vulnerable or needy, and his bride, the church. And I just want to say thank you for those of you who have so well partnered with those initiatives. So we have a thing. God has a thing. Again, we might have things. God has things. And then number three this morning is this, is that God wants his thing to become our thing. God wants his thing or things to be our thing or things. Now, there's nothing wrong with gardening and guns and granola and games. And by the way, it's fine for you to continue to have those be your things. But when you and I come into a relationship with Jesus, the Bible makes it clear that God wants what he cares about most to become the things that we care about the most. And I would just even add into that, for the benefit of who? And the benefit actually is broad stretching. It's to the benefit of those who we might serve or help, the lost, the needy, the vulnerable, and the church. But it's actually also to our personal benefit. Check this out. 1 John 4, 11 through 12 says this: "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So again, God loves us. We're his thing, but he wants his thing, the way he loves us, to actually start, that we funnel that in, begin to love other people. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." That's a benefit for the person I love, and it's a benefit for me because God loves me and I begin to have God live through me in a fresh kind of way, and his love is made complete in me. Now, again, God wants us to care about what he cares about for the benefit of all. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and then watch this, "and all these things will be added to you." And so very much God makes it clear that he wants our thing to be his thing, that his thing needs to become our thing, and that there's this incredible benefit that starts to happen. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I actually heard my pastor teach a message very, very similar to this, which I give a tip of my cap to Pastor Matt Keller, who is Pastor Eric and I's pastor, Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller in Fort Myers, Florida. But he used an example of a son who wants to be with his dad who's working in a garage. And if the dad was working on a car, son might show up and say, "Hey, Dad, I want to be in the proximity of you working on this car. Yes, I care about the car, but what I really care about is caring about what you care about so I can be close to you." And I just want to say in a very similar way, when God's things become our things, it actually puts us in closer proximity with him. And yes, we're working on projects. Yes, we're working on things. Yes, we might be reaching the lost. Yes, we might be serving the vulnerable. Yes, we might be building the church. But really what we're also doing simultaneously is we're actually hanging out with our Father. And that's why God wants his thing to become our thing. Now, Pastor Eric and I have done this financially for at least the 21 years that we've been together. Now, we've made a lot of mistakes in our life, and we've made mistakes financially, but one thing that I feel like we've done fairly consistently well is that we have trusted God with tithing. And I talked about this last week and a bit, and I've taught on this in the past as well, and you can also study this on your own. But we've just taken that step to say, "Hey, God, we're going to put you first in the finances that you've entrusted us. We're going to prioritize giving, and we're going to do a percentage, so priority and percentage-based giving. God, we're going to take 10% of what you've entrusted to us, and we're going to give it back to your local church, to reach the lost, to care for the needy and the vulnerable, and to build the church. God, because we want your thing to be our thing. We want our thing to be your thing." And, you know, again, we've made a lot of mistakes, but that's one thing that we've consistently done. And I love the way that I believe that has knit our heart with our Father's heart. And I want to invite you to do the same, because I want to see you have that same kind of intimacy, that same kind of thing that begins to happen where you stay close to the Father and his things actually start to become your things. The Bible actually says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And you know, you can't always tell your heart where to go, but you can tell your treasure where to go, and then your heart follows it, because God wants his thing to become our thing. And number four, and a kind of last point for this morning is this, is that when we make his thing our thing, it has eternal and joyful ramifications. And I've already kind of started getting into this, but I really want to hammer this point home, is that when his thing becomes our thing, there are these joyful ramifications that start to happen, and there are eternal ramifications that start to take place. So unlike gardening or guns or granola or games, when we get involved with what our Father is involved in, the Bible makes it clear that we are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven that will last forever, and that there's a joy, a great joy, the joy of generosity that's associated with this. This has been our theme verse the entire time, and it's the one that we will close this series out with. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Did you see it? God is providing for us for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous. There it is, joy, enjoyment, generous, generosity, and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the age to come. That's an eternal perspective. So we've got here enjoyment, being generous. We've got a coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And when God's thing becomes our thing, there are joyful and eternal consequences. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Wait, hold on. Whoever is kind to the poor, if I could paraphrase, whoever is generous lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward them for what they have done. Now, this is a fascinating concept if you stop and think about it for a second, that being joyfully generous is actually lending to the Lord. Now, that doesn't make sense to my brain, but the Bible says that when I do what God says to do and I am joyfully generous, that there's actually something that transcends the natural now and it actually moves into the eternal tomorrow. That there's actually this idea that what I do with funds today, what I'm joyfully generous with today, actually somehow transcends into a place where God is borrowing from what I've got in my hand now, and he's going to reward and repay me later. Now this, as I've made clear throughout this series, I don't believe is as some faith systems might kind of picture heaven. I don't believe that the ultimate reward for a Christian is jewels in a crown or beachside mansions, or fruit trees, whatever it might be, in some faith, virgins, or whatever. No, I believe that the ultimate reward of the Christian life is actually Jesus, is God, is actually being in relationship with him. That's the ultimate reward. And somehow what we see here is that whenever we are generous joyfully, that somehow that actually connects us in relationship to the Lord for eternity in a fresh way. I don't fully understand it, but it says that we may take hold of a life that is truly life. And God, when he says, when my thing becomes your thing, when you get excited about the things that I'm excited about, there's joyful and eternal consequences and ramifications. So God created a system, and I'll close with this idea. God created a system where we could take earthly, temporary resources now, and we could invest them and give them in such a way that they yield this eternal, joyful reward in heaven. What? How does that work? How does that even work? How did God set it up in such a way that I can use what I have in my hand now, dollars and cents, and I can do something with that in such a way that it equates to eternal and joyful ramifications with God, my heavenly Father? And I want to encourage you with that. Matthew 6, 19 through 20 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, Element Church, what's your thing? What's your thing? What's your things? Go ahead, fill it in. What's your thing? And then, hey, God has a thing. And then, hey, God wants his thing to become your thing, because there's joyful and eternal ramifications and benefits. Let me close us with this super practical landing. I said last week that my goal as a pastor is for Element people, for our church, is 100% participation in giving. Now, I know that not everyone is in a financial place where they're going to be able to step into tithing right now. I understand that. We've talked about stewardship. We've talked about going on a journey of maturing and growing financially. But my heart as a pastor is that everybody would get involved in giving in some way. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. If you've been walking through this series with us and you have not yet done that, go to theelement.church/give and get involved right now. We're not talking about equal gifts. We're talking about equal sacrifice. And I just want to call you and invite you, after all the teaching that we've done, after all the looking at practices that we've done, I want to ask you, what's your thing? And are you willing today to make God's thing your thing? Because I believe that if you'll do that, you will experience joyful and eternal ramifications. Let me pray over us. Father, thank you for today. God, I pray that everybody within the sound of my voice, God, that they would just simply ask you what they're supposed to do financially. But then, God, I pray that they would have the courage to take that step of faith and to trust you. And so, God, I've done as much teaching as I know how to do over these last 4 weeks. God, I've done everything I know to open up your word and, God, try to share it with your people. And, God, I pray now, Holy Spirit, even in this moment, that you would begin to speak or continue to speak to hearts. And God, I pray that you would just put practical, actionable next steps in the hearts and minds of your people. And then God, I pray for the courage for them to take those steps. God, your word, the number one command in your scripture is to not be afraid. To be in Joshua 1:9, you say, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord, you are with us wherever we go. And so I just pray that over us as a church. I pray that over us as a people. I pray that we would have the courage to take the steps of maturity and faith, God, that you've put before us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to us. God, telling us how to move forward, speaking to us about what we need to do. And so God, today, as we enter into a place of worship, as we go into a place where we're lifting you up and reminding ourselves and reminding others that you're the number one thing in our heart, that you sit on the throne of our heart, that you are our thing. God, that I pray in that process, you would speak to us about how to order our finances accordingly. And God, that your thing would become our thing for eternal and joyful benefit. God, we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And hey, before we go into a time of worship and you can kind of just mull on some of the things that the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, I just want to invite you, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus before, we're talking about taking steps of faith in our finances, but maybe for some of us listening, we need to take steps of faith with our actual life. And can I just tell you that surrendering your life to Jesus Christ will be the greatest decision that you ever make. A personal relationship with the God that created you is what awaits on the other side of surrender to Jesus. And so if you've never done that before and you want to surrender your life to God, if you would say today, Pastor Scott, I've been trying to do this life thing. I've been trying to run my own life and it is not working. I don't need to try a little harder, get a little better. I need a savior. I need a rescuer. Well, that's why Jesus Christ came. The Bible says that he was God in the flesh, that he died on the cross. Lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and then went into the grave, rose 3 days later to prove that he had access to open up the pathway to eternal life. And then he turned and he offered it to you and I. And he said, hey, if you will accept my gift for you, it's not something you can earn. It's not something that you can buy. It's something that I gift to you, but you have to receive it and you have to surrender. And the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you'll be saved and you'll live with God forever, that something new on the inside of us happens, that there's something that's born again, that our spirit is awakened, and that we begin to live in a relationship with God. Excuse me. So if you want to pray that today, I want to pray that with you. You can pray that with me. Just pray this with me. Just say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you're good. Thank you for Jesus. I believe he was your only son, that he came and lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross and rose from the grave in order to pay for my sin. Right now, I receive that gift. It is a gift, and I receive it by faith and by grace. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it, but I receive it right now. And God, I thank you that you're birthing something new on the inside of me, that my spirit is being born again. And God, that I will walk with you, that I can hear your voice, that I'll read your word, and that I will live to the best of my ability in obedience to the things that you call me to do. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for a new life and a new future for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. And hey guys, if you prayed that prayer with us, would you just text the keyword element to 97,000, element to 97,000, and on that form, you'll get a link, click it on the form that you receive. It says, I made a commitment to Jesus today. Would you click that and let us know? I'd love to, just in my own personal time, I'd love to pray over you. We would just love to know. We'd love to hear from you. So please let us know. If you need a Bible or something like that, you can put that right on that form. Let us know. We'll get whatever you need. And get involved in a good Bible-believing church. We like this one, and we want to invite you to be part of Element Church. But we know that Element is not the only good church around. And so just want to invite you and encourage you. You need to get involved in a community of people. So make sure that you do that. Hey, we're so excited for you. The Bible says that whenever someone turns and gives their life to God, that there are literally angels in heaven rejoicing. And so we believe that that is the case today over the decision that you've made. And I know that all heaven is rejoicing. I want to let you know I'm rejoicing with you. And I want to let you know that you should be rejoicing because this is the greatest day of your life, the day that you came into a personal, intimate relationship with the God who loves you and who made you. All right, you guys, it's been a great morning this morning. Let's go ahead into a time of worship and let's let the Holy Spirit just stir this around. And I pray again that we'll take steps of faith and action to mature in the area of personal finances as we've closed this series, The Joy of Generosity.